On Sunday mornings, we're if you've been with us, we've been studying for about a year and a half, 1 and 2 Samuel. And we only have a few chapters left in 2 Samuel. I don't really feel like the Lord wants us to go on into 1 Kings, the life of Solomon. And so just pray about it. But I'm thinking the Lord might want us to go back to the New Testament and maybe study the book of Romans on Sunday mornings after we finish 2 Samuel. I've never taught that book, and such a beautiful book. I love that song we sang. Don't you love that song? David and I, we never talk about what songs he's going to sing or pick. That's the Holy Spirit gives him that. So we don't get together and try to plan that the message will go with the songs. We never do that. That song, where you walk, I will walk. Where you go, I will go. When you wait, I will wait, right? And then it talks about the glory, the cloud that was the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night, and how it would lead the children of Israel. I love that song. I was just thinking while we're singing that song, when we sang that, we sang it to the Lord. I'm really glad. I believe that was the Lord that had David pick that song. I want to ask you as we begin, did you mean it? Did we mean it? Did I mean it? Did you mean it? And everything I share with you this weekend and everything David shares with you is for us first in our lives and your lives. It isn't you. It's us. It's we. It's me. It's you. I need help. And I need the Lord. Do you know that there's a whole lot of people that would think you're crazy? Like, what's wrong with you? Why do you want to go away on a weekend and bring your Bible and get away and listen to Bible studies and sing to God and be, and you know, did you think that way before you knew him, before you knew the Lord Jesus Christ? I did. It was like, that was, what are they doing? Laura and I drove by the tent when we were dating in high school of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, and God was pouring out his spirit. People were getting saved, and everyone is in love with Jesus. And we went by that, and I looked over there, and I still remember saying, man, those people are crazy. And here we are. And so I just really feel so blessed to be with you because you are here for him. Are we crazy? Why would we do this? Who would want to do this? But we want to do this. We have a desire, right? Because of a God who's real and risen and alive. And he came into our lives in such a real way, and he is who we live for, amen? And so this is what we long for in our hearts, and we're hungry and thirsty for. I happened to open my Bible. Again, you guys, just want to encourage you to really listen to the Lord this weekend. And you know his voice. He lives in you, the Holy Spirit. He's your closest friend. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit. And just listen to the Lord. I was thinking while we were worshiping, if you're hoping the Lord will speak to your husband, or if you're hoping the Lord will speak to your wife, that's good. But he wants to speak to you, to each of us, because it's that relationship with him that's going to bless your husband or bless your wife. Anyway, I started to say, January 1st this year, I got up on New Year's Day, and I think it was a Monday, because Sunday was the day before Joe and Patty's 40th anniversary. Happy anniversary again. And what a blessing. Totally. And I just happened to open my Bible to the Old Testament, and it was that song where the pillar of cloud and the fire by day and the fire by night were leading the children of Israel. But what blew my mind was the Lord told Moses to set up the tabernacle, right, where they would meet with God, which was a portable temple. Do you know what he said? Now you got to remember, it's New Year's Day morning, and I'm having coffee, and you know, you're flipping, and I just stopped at this passage, and he told Moses, on the first day of the first month of the year, set up the tabernacle. What day is that? What's the first day of the first month of our year? January 1st. Just a little thing. I sat and looked at that for a long time, and God had my attention. And that's what you have, and I have. You have the same thing I have. That living relationship with Him where you can sit there with a cup of coffee, and all of a sudden you know you're in the presence of God, and you go, this did not happen by a mistake. I'm sitting here on the first day of the first month of the year, and I'm reading that you're saying, set up the place for me to be worshiped and followed on the first day of the first month of the year. And the idea was every day right after that. And when you move, we will move. And they waited and they watched. And they didn't go anywhere unless that cloud moved. And if it moved, they moved. And if it was a day, they moved. If it was a month, they waited. They waited. And that kept their eyes on the Lord. Did we mean that when we sang that to you, Lord? Where you go, I will go. Where you walk, I will walk. When you wait, I will wait. Let's look at that tonight. Look in your Bibles at Mark 8:31. And Jesus is, it says, and he, Jesus, began to teach them, and he's speaking about himself here, that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. So he says, they're going up to Jerusalem. He's going to die, you guys. Now look at verse 32. Wow, this just jumps out at me. He, Jesus, spoke this word openly. And you guys know this. Then Peter took him aside, come here, Lord, and began to rebuke him. Can you believe that? Do you know the same story in Matthew's gospel in chapter 16, verse 22, tells us what Peter said? Here it just tells us that Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Matthew says, Peter said this, far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you. In other words, let that be far away from you, and this shall not happen to you, right? Verse 33, but when he, Jesus, had turned around and looked at his disciples, I imagine you guys, Jesus turning around, Peter had just said that, looks at the disciples, I want to make sure I have your attention, and now he's looking at Peter, okay, I have something to say, right? But when he had turned around and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, get behind me, Satan, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but of the things of men. And what he was saying, you guys, is you're not thinking like God thinks. You're thinking like the world thinks. You're thinking like we used to think. The people who would say, what's wrong with you guys? Are you crazy? You would want to go away and study the Bible and praise God on a weekend when you could be doing something else? Why would you want to do that? Right? That's the things of men. Verse 34. When he had called the people to himself with his disciples also, he said to them, whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. And you guys, in Luke's gospel, he adds the word daily. So Jesus is saying, deny yourself, take up your cross daily and follow me. In the New International Version of the Bible, it says this, and I really like it. They translate it that Jesus said he must deny himself. It's a necessity. Verse 35, for whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? I like the story in Mark's gospel because it's the only version where right in between Jesus saying he's going to the cross and him telling us that we must deny ourselves and take up our cross, Peter says, not so, Lord, be it far from you. I just want to take that thought for a minute, you guys, and I believe today that is what he said, get me behind me, Satan. Peter wasn't filled with a demon. He wasn't filled with Satan. But Satan can shoot thoughts and temptations. I mean, we get tempted, right? And the enemy can tempt us. We know that. He has access to our mind. What Jesus was saying is the enemy's giving you that thought, and it's after the world. And what was that thought that was so against the Lord, that was coming from the enemy, that was just like the world, and it wasn't godly, God thinking, was, not so, Lord, far be it from you. You're not to go to the cross. But wait, hold that thought, because Jesus turns around and then he says, I'm going to my cross, and if anyone wants to follow me, he must deny himself or herself, take up their cross and follow me. Hold that thought, because what does the world say? What would the enemy say? And what does much of the teaching in the world today say in Christianity? Not so, Lord, far be it from you. In other words, is that what's going on in your heart and my heart? The Lord says, deny yourself, take up your cross, follow me. Not so, Lord, let that be far from me. Do you guys see? Right in between Peter saying, no, Lord, don't do that, Jesus said, not only am I going to do that, you need to do that. Will we go anywhere? Will we follow them? Do you know, we sat with Walt and Lydia and Ed and Michelle for dinner, and it was a blessing. And just a few minutes left in dinner, and I think it's okay that I would share this, because getting to know Walt and Lydia, they love the Lord Jesus and they want to honor him and glorify him. But I had the privilege for a few minutes, and I think it would be okay for me to share this, of talking to Lydia. And Lydia was born and grew up in Ukraine. And her father was a pastor for 46 years. I did not know that, and I learned that at dinner. Now, you know what? That same, and you guys be sensitive to the Lord this weekend. I'm listening to Lydia talking, and I'm having to strain because you guys were talking so loud, I could hardly hear. Okay? Come on, you know? Anyway, but I'm listening, and I'm listening to her, but you know how that works? I'm listening to the story she's telling me, but as she's talking, God's talking in my heart. Isn't that what you live for? Isn't that what I live for? Her father was a pastor for 46 years. Jesus said, if you want to come after me, you must deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. You must. It's not optional. And Lydia started to tell me that there was persecution when she was growing up, and people were being arrested for their faith, and they had to meet in secret. Here we are. God's provided this beautiful place for about 6 years now. And they would have to keep moving and moving to different people's houses to meet on different nights. And they would meet for safety at 4 o'clock in the morning. So people might say to you and I, you're crazy for going up to Bandon overnight for a day. What would they say about those people whose lives were at risk and who are being arrested, and they're meeting at 4 o'clock in the morning? And Lydia said that her father used to send her to different people's homes when she was a girl, letting them know that they were going to be meeting in their house that night. I already knew we were going to look at this tonight. What are you saying? I'm saying, as I'm sitting there, and the Lord, he wants us to count the cost of following him. And we can think it's a huge sacrifice sometimes to make a decision to come overnight to something like this, and there's people being arrested, meeting at 4 o'clock in the morning. There are couples that were supposed to be here, and they're not here. There's valid reasons why couples aren't here this weekend. There are. Appointments, different things happen, right? Or they wanted to be here, jobs wouldn't free them up, stuff like that, right? That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about no desire to come to this weekend, and you're a married couple, not having a desire. Laura and I were talking on the way up, and I said, really, when it comes down to it, They're not willing. Because if you can go and you have the finances to go, and if you don't have the finances to go, we've always made that available to people so they can go. And nothing's keeping you from going, but you choose not to come. There's nothing left but this. You will not deny yourself and take up your cross and follow him. In other words, that first part, deny self. And to deny self means to put aside our wants, our feelings, our desires for him, whatever he wants us to do. He said, I thought this was a married couple's retreat. It is. Do you know if we would do that? So we go, what do we need to hear, Lord, that you want to tell us this weekend? That we really need to hear from you. And you guys, that's all I want. And David, as we've prayed and talked, Lord, we want to hear from you. And it's so valuable, such precious time. What do you want to say? And this is tonight, what he's given. And he's going to build on it this weekend. Because if I would do that in my marriage and you would do that in our marriage, oh my gosh, you guys, watch what he would do. You and I, we stand at the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ and we see two things. We see our worth, how much you and I are worth, right? Because we see the greatness of his love in dying for us. But then standing there and seeing that, our worth, we now see the second thing, our own unworthiness. When we see how horrible our sin is that really caused him to die for us. And we're going to celebrate communion tonight and remember that. So at the cross, as we look at our Lord's cross, we know the value of the human self, you and I. The self created in the image of God and redeemed and now made new. And yet, we really need to understand this tonight. We also know that we are commanded by Jesus to deny the part of self that leads us to sin, the old self nature within us, which will one day be destroyed by God forever. So you and I, we have both dignity because we've been born again and recreated in the image of God, and we have tonight still depravity because we still have a fallen and rebellious nature inside of us. Now, if we'll just stop there and get a hold of that, that's the hinge on the door that the Lord is going to open it up for our marriages, for him to bring life and healing and wholeness and closeness and intimacy into our marriage. So he said, deny yourself, take up your cross. In other words, the part of self, listen carefully, that we're to deny and crucify is our fallen self. Listen, everything within you and I that is incompatible with Jesus Christ, okay? And we all know that part of us. Now, the part of self that we're to affirm and to value is our created self, everything that is compatible within you, compatible with Jesus Christ. Now, just like listening to Lydia talk and the Lord speaking to me, the Lord speaking to you, Lord, do that this weekend. The very Holy Spirit who dwells within you and I will give us the discernment as to which is which. Which self is it, that fallen self or our good created self? And we'll know the attitude to adopt towards each one. Now, you and I, we must be fearless in affirming and valuing all that we are by creation and redemption. The Lord loves us. He died, and that gives us our worth. But we also must be, listen, even this weekend, ruthless in denying and crucifying all that we are in our fallen sin nature. Denying ourselves is denying our supposed right, and I emphasize supposed right, to go our own way. Now, here's what the Lord wants us to understand, is those things with you and I, our old self, that are incompatible with Jesus, the things he wants us to deny and crucify, will work against our marriages. Amen? Amen. In my life, it works against my marriage. And it works in my marriage, and it works in your marriage to make us incompatible, right, as husbands and wives. Now, listen carefully. And yet, all of the things within us, within you and I, that are compatible with Jesus, the things he loves and wants to increase, are the very same things that probably made your spouse fall in love with you and the things that will continue to bless them as we deny that fallen sin nature and we walk in the Spirit and he grows us in that the self, you and I, that's going to live with him forever. Let's talk just a moment about a man and a woman who are sick of themselves. He's sick of himself. She's sick of herself. When we say that about ourselves, I'm sick of myself, you know, we should hear the Holy Spirit answer back in our hearts, then deny and crucify that man. And so often when we say, you got to be careful, huh? Because when we say, I'm sick of myself, it's like throw the baby out with the bathwater. It's my whole self. My whole self is worthless. No. So that helps us to minister to each other, because if somebody comes to me and just says, oh, I'm just so sick of myself, you know, I just feel like ending my life, I'll say, well, crucify. Take up your cross, deny that person and crucify him, because there's a self made in the image of God that's valuable, that Jesus died for, that's going to live with him forever. Amen. So you see, we kind of need to understand what's going on inside of us. So the part of ourselves we become sick of is our fallen self, everything within us that's incompatible with Jesus. We can crucify that part of self while at the same time affirming and valuing the part of ourself that's our created self, everything that is compatible with Jesus Christ. That helps us understand when Paul said in Galatians 2:20, he said, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Wait a minute, Paul. His understanding should be ours. He says two things. I've been crucified. That's death. But the life I now live. Do you get it? I've been crucified. I died. But the life I now live. My old self, I've denied myself, I've taken up my cross, I'm denying that self, but I live, my valuable self, my created self lives, and that's not a contradiction, because we have that old nature and we have our new nature. You and I, that old self, are the ones that prevent the Lord in us from coming forth and manifesting his life and his love through us, which is going to bless our marriages. So I am my own biggest problem. So are you. And if I would deal with that with the Lord, he would bless my marriage and he would bless yours too. Now, our pride tells us to focus on ourselves, my wants, my feelings, my desires. If our pride, that fallen self, is left uncrucified and undenied, it isn't long before you and I begin to feel entitled, deprived, and embittered. My needs aren't being met. It's about me, my wants, my feelings, my desires. Whenever you and I as a man or a woman develop dissatisfaction with our spouse or our mate, dissatisfaction with God is at the root of the problem. It's a denial of the plan of God and his work in our marriages. The word disciple. Are you a disciple of Jesus Christ? Did you know that that word, when we think of disciple, we think it means follower of Jesus, and everyone who's a disciple is a follower. It's a neutral word. There's no meaning of salvation or even a hint of salvation in that word at all. A disciple in the Greek language simply means someone who puts themselves under another's teaching, right, to learn from them. There was a day in John chapter 6 where it says, Jesus said some hard things. It said, listen, many of his disciples turned and walked away and walked with him no more. Wait a minute. Do you see? When he listed his 12 disciples, who was the last one? Who's always last on the list? Judas, the one who betrayed him. We know Judas was lost, but it says he listed his 12 disciples. Okay, so the context of the story that we read in the Bible tells us whether that disciple was truly a disciple of Jesus or not. Right? So we know that Judas wasn't, and we know that all the guys that walked around or walked away in John chapter 6 and followed him no more were not truly disciples, even though they were called disciples. The context. So you guys, what in our lives determines? Because you know what? You can sit under someone's teaching and learn and sit under their teaching, but not do and not follow. So what is it? Are we, are you and I, true disciples and followers of Jesus Christ? And our lives, just like in the Bible, the context will tell whether we are or not. It's this. Do we deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow him? Now, I'm going to jump ahead. Mike and Shirley, bless me. Thank you again. Decision Magazine from Billy Graham. You want to get a really good magazine? Decision Magazine from Billy Graham. Do you know he's 99 years old in his 100th year? I think it's November. Lord, bring him to the November to 100. Wouldn't that be great? Well, on that cover, Lord was, you know, this was back in December. We're already praying about the retreat. I'll just describe that cover to you. It shows Billy Graham, a silhouette of him. The cover's black and white. And the cover's mainly white, and he's like an old black and white picture, a younger man when he's preaching. He's got his Bible tucked under his arm and against his chest like this, and he's looking at this, so it's like you're looking at him from here. So you see him, but then his figure is casting a shadow on the ground. And the shadow is the cross. Wow. I was riveted to that because I was already thinking, the Lord was already speaking, this is what he would want us to do right now, tonight, and this weekend while we're here. So if you take out your handout with the schedule, you have it? I got mine in my pocket here. And we've been showing it on the screen at church. If you take that out and you look at that couple which represents your marriage and you and I think Dan, that was prophetic because I think they're holding hands in that picture. It looks like they are, okay? I'm sorry, Dan. Anyway, look at the shadow they're casting on the ground. And the scripture, can two walk together unless they are agreed? Do you notice in the word two, together, and they, the T is a cross, not a T? In your marriage, in mine, can two walk together unless they are agreed? Could we spell it that way? As we walk as husband and wife is the shadow we cast upon the ground. Now, listen. If we go down to the beach and you take that walk tomorrow and the sun's shining and you're holding hands just like in this picture and free time and you're walking together and the sun's hitting you, there isn't going to be a cross behind you on the ground. We know that, right? It's going to look just like you. It's going to be the shape of us here. We're talking in the spirit. Here's what I'm trying to say. This is all the Lord wants us to know tonight. Heaven can see. The enemy can see. In our marriages, spiritually, in the spirit world, the unseen world, the shadow we cast, individually as a husband, individually as wife, and then together as one because the Lord calls us to be one in marriage. Is it a cross? If we deny ourselves, take up our cross and follow him, it is. And heaven can see clearly, and so can the enemy, by the way. Is it that cross? That's glorifying to God. If we will deny ourselves, take up our cross and follow him, that's exactly what it'll look like. In 1910, this artist, he's famous, right? He's the one that did that famous picture of Jesus standing at the door and knocking. Artist Holman Hunt. He painted a picture entitled The Shadow of Death. You guys probably have seen it. And it's Jesus as a young man. He's working in the carpenter shop at Nazareth, the sun shining through the window. He's taking a break from his work, and he just, you know, stretches out his arms to stretch like he's been working hard. Oh, like this. And the sun casts a shadow behind him on the wall of the cross, you see. And you guys, that's what Jesus is calling us to. And it sounds like, oh my gosh, that's the last thing that's going to make me happy. And you guys, that's the path to joy and love and intimacy with Jesus and intimacy in our marriages. And instead of trying to get our needs met, we're seeking to meet our wife or our husband's needs. A.W. Tozer said that to him, this was the most beautiful verse in the Bible. And it's in Psalm 90, verse 17. It's the prayer of Moses. Moses said, "Let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us." And I think of that when I think of that spiritual shadow of the cross being cast, the picture of the couple walking on our schedule. Let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. And that's when it is. Valentine's Day is coming up. We'll give each other gifts. We give each other gifts as husband and wife for birthdays, Christmas, anniversaries. I never thought of this before, but I believe it's true with all of my heart. You know what the greatest gift you can give your husband or your wife, the greatest gift, is your own personal and devoted relationship and walk with Jesus Christ. That is the greatest, really? Is that the greatest gift you can give them? Yes. The greatest gift I can give my wife is if I would deny myself, take up my cross, and follow Jesus, because then that person that she fell in love with will come forward in the beauty of the Lord being upon him, and I'll be a blessing in her life and not a problem. You pursuing Jesus Christ and drawing close to him is the greatest gift you can give your spouse. Amen? Yes. That's the greatest thing we can do for each other, and that's what he wants to talk to us about tonight. I know you want to draw close to him tonight. When he draws us close, he asks us to go low, which means to humble ourselves. I was driving home from church one day, and before I got home, you know how you know, you can remember where you were, I will forever, where I was, and again, in your heart, the Lord speaks to you, and you guys, he wants to speak to you and I all day long, every day, and I had this thought, this desire within me, Lord, you know what, Lord, I want to go down low, I want to serve you, go back to the song we sang, I want to walk where you walk, I want to go where you go. I want to wait when you wait. We sang that song. So I was thinking in my mind, in my heart, Lord, you know what? I would love to be is like this, one of the sandals on your feet. I love that idea, that picture. If I could be one of the sandals on your feet. Why? The sandals on his feet are at the lowest place. They're broken in, they're flexible, they're one with him, always with him, right? Yielded to him. They go where he goes, they move as one with him. No one looks at the sandals, they look at the one wearing them, Jesus. And if those sandals are noticed at all, no one says, "Look at how those sandals are moving with your feet, Lord." It's like, no, everyone knows they can't do anything. He does everything. They're just there. Guys, that's us. And by the way, where is he going with those sandals? To the cross. Ah, then the thought hit me. There's two of them. There's two sandals. Look at the back side of your handout. Look at the back side of this. And we put a picture on there. Those are the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's two sandals there. How about if one of those sandals is the husband and one of those sandals is the wife and it says, can two walk together unless they are agreed? What if that husband is completely surrendered to Jesus Christ, denying himself, taking up his cross and following the Lord? And what if the wife will do the same? They will go where he goes, walk where he walks, surrendered to him. And by the way, everywhere he goes, because he's now the one, we go and we're walking together and we're in agreement. Amen. Do you guys see that? If that's all we get done tonight, that's the picture he wants us to have in our mind, is walking together with the shadow of a cross or being his sandals. And Lord, I go where you go. And that made me think, talking to Lydia tonight, she said they would meet, and it was great in the spring because they'd go out and meet in the forests, in the grass and everything, and out of town, whatever. But in the winter, in the snow, they'd all go and meet, and all of a sudden someone came to the door and interrupted the meeting and found them because he had seen all these footprints in the snow and he had followed them. Where are all these footprints going? And that should be us, easily seen, clearly visible, right? And talking to my bride about it, just talking about this retreat. By the way, she's heard everything you're hearing already. But that helps me. I don't always do that because I know she's going to hear me teach on Sunday. But on things like this where, man, I'm just really trying to listen to the Lord, just to talk to her and share it with her. That same Holy Spirit is there. There's three of us there. And he just makes things clear. But what she was saying is, you know, that cross that we think is a shadow in the spirit world and unseen is not unseen in the seen world. And the people might not see in your life and mine a cross, but there's a fragrance to your life that cannot be missed, like those footprints in the snow. And they know. Because a believer who is denying themselves, taking up their cross and following Jesus cannot be hidden. The city set upon a hill cannot be hidden. You know what I thought, though? Jesus said, by the way, Jesus said, take up your cross, right? Okay, so let's say I'm standing up here. I'm not sitting. And it's like, okay, Lord, bring me my cross. Right? And he brings it to me. Okay, I'm going to brace it now. No, he said, deny yourself, take up your cross. Where would that be? It's down there on the ground. Take it up. Which means we have to go low, deny ourselves, humble ourselves to pick up that cross. It's speaking of humility. So here's the idea. Deny yourself. To me, I think simply it's either one of two things in my life, and I think yours too. If I'm going to take it up or lift it up, at any given time, you and I are doing one of two things. We're going low and denying ourselves to take up and lift up our cross. Or I'm not denying myself, and I'm what? Lifting up myself in that old man. It's either one or the other all of the time. What if we just got this right in our marriages and in our lives? Radically change our lives and our marriages. I feel like it's what the Savior is telling us tonight. Again, love Billy Graham's magazine. January's edition this year, last month's edition, a woman named Joan Mack talking about growing up with her father. She says, one day he sat his family down and challenged his children, telling them that he was at a crossroad in his life. Here are her words. I remember my father saying to us one day, I don't know about my children, but I want all that God has to offer. You can come with me on this journey or stay where you are. That got my attention. I had a choice and I wanted it all too. I feel like this weekend the Lord has brought us to that very same crossroad. Do we want all that he has to give? Do we want more of him? We're at a crossroad. Let us be like her father. He said, I don't know about you. I want all that God has to offer. You can come with me on this journey or stay where you are. But you guys, that journey was to deny himself, pick up his cross, and follow Jesus. Well, I'll tell you what. I got a whole lot here, a whole lot here. And you see this? We're going like this. And you know why? Because David and I were talking, And I'm totally willing to do that because you know what? What I love is when you study to teach, you learn. I have never, I don't think, learned so much in so short a time in the last couple months with what David and I are going to talk about this weekend. And my life has been changed in the last month forever. What we're talking about tonight in the morning and tomorrow and just the teachings we have here has changed my life forever. I will never be the same. God opens your eyes to things you've never seen before or understood. I have never felt ever so much that he loves me as much as he does now. Do you know that should ever be increasing in your life and mine? And he wants us to know that tonight as we celebrate communion. So we purposely decided not to have really long teachings because you know what? The Lord wants to speak in the time we have, and he wants us to have time together. And so we're going to have communion, and we're trying to get done tonight by like 9 o'clock. We're meeting for breakfast. We're not meeting in here in the morning. First thing we're going to do tomorrow is we're going to meet at 8 o'clock for breakfast. So let's say you got up at 7 o'clock to get ready. 7:45. 7:50. If you got up at 7 o'clock to get ready, if you went to bed at 11 o'clock tonight, that gives you 8 hours of sleep tonight, which means tonight you got a couple hours together with each other and also to go over and eat every one of those cookies and have coffee and play pool and ping pong. But we're going to celebrate communion. I want you to listen to this as we lead into communion. Please just listen and give me your attention. The last book in the Bible is Malachi, and I just want to tell you how blessed Jesus is with you, that you would be here tonight. In the day of Malachi, it was very much like our day. When we first got here, Terry's wife Brenda was by the coffee shop, and we saw each other and we stopped and we just started talking and we just started talking about the Lord and that we both believe we're living in the last days. You guys believe that in the last of the last days and Jesus is coming soon and he could come tonight or he could come any day soon because our world is so radically dark. Well, at that time, 400 years before Jesus was born and came, there was a really sharp decline in devotion to the Lord and immorality in Israel. There was irreverence and profanity characterized the people's attitude. There was witchcraft, adultery, perjury, fraud, and oppression of one another were prevailing moral sins. There was a disregard of family responsibility and gross materialism that highlighted the social conditions and the attitude of the people was one of sneering self-defense. Instead of self-denial, lifting self up instead of denying self and taking up the cross, right? Well, listen to what God says. Just listen. Because this is going to be a blessing for you. He says to the nation at large, "Your words have been harsh against me, says the Lord, yet you say, 'What have we spoken against you?' God says, 'You have said, it's useless to serve God. What profit is it that we have kept his ordinance, that we're following his word, right? And that we have walked as mourners before the Lord of hosts.'" Mourners. In other words, deny myself, take up my cross, and follow you. It's useless to serve you, Lord, is what it's saying. What is in it for me? That's kind of what was going on, you guys. Do you know? Does that happen today? Do you know just of late I've had people who have been Christians, tell me what use is it to serve the Lord? Same thing. Here's what else they were saying. So now we call the proud, those that don't know the Lord, they're the ones that are blessed. For those who do wickedness are raised up. They're the ones that are getting blessed. They even tempt God and go free. We'll talk about that tomorrow morning. In other words, they sin and do wickedly, and God doesn't do anything to them. Now, listen to this. And I was telling my wife, Laura, on the way here, this is you. And I said, I feel like the Lord. So wants me to commend each couple that came this weekend, to commend them for their value of their marriage and their value of Jesus, that you would choose to be here for him. What does that mean to him? Listen, then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another. Here we are, that's us. And the Lord listened and heard them. This is in heaven. So a book of remembrance was written before him in heaven for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I make them my jewels. It literally means special treasure. And I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. Then you shall again discern between the righteous and the wicked, between the one who serves God and the one who does not serve him, the one who will deny himself, right, and take up his cross and follow Jesus, and the one who will not. But you guys, that's the heart of the Lord for us this weekend and tonight. They shall be mine, says the Lord. Write this down in a book. I will not forget. I will remember. And today I make them my jewels, my special treasure, that you would get alone and be with me.